A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the 8th chapter. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go down towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and study, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading from the book of Isaiah. When the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the Ethiopian reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. And he asked the Ethiopian, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so he invited Philip to get in and sit down next to him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb silent before his shearer, so does he not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice is denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from him and from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet speak? Is he speaking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed the good news of Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What would prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went away, rejoicing greatly. And Philip found himself in the Azores, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to towns and cities until he came to Caesarea. The word of eternal life. So I get to be in a different Lutheran church as the chaplain for Open Door every Sunday. I get to go ahead and visit a lot of different situations and settings, all the way from Tacoma to Bellingham. Some churches I am really excited to be back in, like here, and some I'm not so sure. I was in one church over on the east side, and the pastor said, because it being your first time here, "Why don't you go ahead and be introduced in the service, then go out while I'm preaching and set up for the adult forum, then you'll be all ready to go and come back in and help me serve communion." Okay, sounds good to me. So I did, and I walked into the library where I was to do the adult forum, and there was an older woman there, I'm guessing mid or late 70s, and she looked at my face and looked at my collar and looked at my face and looked at my collar, and she said, "I am so happy you're here this morning. They've asked a homosexual to come and speak to us." She said, "And you know the Bible?" And I said, "Before you finish that, I should probably tell you I'm the homosexual." And she just stared at me. And I didn't think she was going to stay. She stayed through the whole presentation. At the end of the presentation, she came up to me and she said, "You know, I've never met a homosexual before." I said, "Yes, you have. They just didn't tell you." She said, "I think you're right. I think my hairdresser's gay." Yeah, there's a good chance. In dealing with that, several Sundays passed, and I got a call from her pastor. And the pastor said, "Do you remember the lady that talked to you after church that Sunday?" And I said, "Oh, vividly." He said, "Last Sunday as she was leaving service, she told me she was so glad we had had the queer pastor here." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because she said her grandson just came out to her. And if you hadn't been here, she wouldn't have known how to respond." Often what takes place is we fail to see those opportunities, those situations where people who we don't know or haven't considered are being included in some way in our faith. Now, did you notice I used the word queer? Is that a comfortable word for you? Is it one that you've heard before? Well, long ago, it used to be the word queer just meant strange. Or it might be said as a hurtful put-down, something that is really offensive. Today, young people many times will refer to themselves as queer youth because they have reclaimed the word to mean, I don't know if I'm straight or gay, I don't know if I'm trans or bi, I'm just sort of figuring this out, and I'm a little bit odd, I'm a little bit queer, but don't know who I am really yet. Often within the gay community, the word can be used to mean to really want something and want it bad. You are so queer for them. You are so queer for that. Meaning, you're drawn to it. Today's text deals with a queer guy and how the Holy Spirit was queer for him. Often being queer means being excluded from the mainstream. But the Holy Spirit was determined to reach this man. As we have watched in the news in the past couple of weeks, Bruce Jenner's transition and the stories around it, we have seen many different reactions and the struggle that he had had of feeling always odd and out of place. Maybe a whole lot like the Ethiopian eunuch who was having problems relating to the society in which he was placed. As we explore this colorful story about him in the book of Acts, it would help if we understood a little bit more about where he would have fit in society. So like a microcosm, I'd like you to imagine that we're talking about society. Stretch with me for just a second. If we're thinking about the high priest, he would be standing behind the altar. And then the political parties, Pharisees and Sadducees, could be sitting on either side, but still up here on the dais. Then we'd have the Jewish men. You all get to be in the front row. And the Jewish women, you can start sitting about middle. And then following that, the men who had sinned a little farther back, and the women had sinned, you get the back row. And those individuals who were mixed race or Samaritans, you could line up on this side. And the individuals who were proselytes, foreigners who had converted and become Jewish, God-fearers, you could be over here on the other side. But some of those who had not converted would be out in the hall. Those individuals who were just curious would be here. So where would our Ethiopian eunuch be? Those last group, the unclean, the lepers, the disabled, the barren woman, the sexual outsider, those individuals who were not included in the household of faith because they could not bear children, they'd be out there in the street. They're not even let into the building. No wonder Philip was totally caught off guard and shocked when God sent him to this marginalized, excluded person to go ahead and preach. Now, Philip had been holding a revival and preaching in Samaria. People were being healed and saved and accepting Jesus as Lord. That was when Philip was prodded by an angel, pushed onto a desert road that went south, down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then the Holy Spirit pulled him upside a chariot to meet this queer black guy from Ethiopia. Although he had not been accepted in Jerusalem, nobody would even talk to him. He couldn't get any of the leaders to explain to him the things about their faith. He had been an individual of great power and prestige in his homeland. Well, he could read in Hebrew, and we know that because he was reading it out loud. Maybe he was a librarian. But still, nobody would explain the scroll that they had given to him. So he had been sent away not to offend Queen Candace with some treasures, but not told what they meant. So, as he is reading the scroll, suddenly he runs into Philip. Now, this is where serendipity really steps in. That wonderful, magical thing that happens. You see, also in Isaiah 56, 3 through 5, it says, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me and my people, for he is one of God's people. And let no eunuch complain, I am a dead, dry tree. For this is what the Lord has to say to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose to follow me and please me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I give within you the temple walls, and I will write a memorial name better than your sons and daughters, and I will give you an everlasting name that will endure forever. The promise of inclusion, the promise of being part of something far greater than you are. In seeing this, we also know that Jesus said that some people are made eunuchs and some people are born eunuchs. In other words, that had to do with just simply whether or not you could have kids, because in Jewish tradition, your inheritance, your promise, everything had to do with having children. The eunuch was an individual who had been given a great opportunity. So Philip interpreted the reading and gave this unusual man very straight answers from the prophet Isaiah. And the eunuch believed. He probably then asks, is there anything else I need to do now that I'm a Christian? And Philip stumbled and maybe paused and said, well, you should be baptized, but we're out here in the center of a desert, and that doesn't look real hopeful. Only to which the eunuch says, look, water. And so he is baptized. The eunuch did not fit the standard profile of acceptability, yet the Spirit went out of her way to reach him and his community. This is one of my favorite Bible stories because it shows God's inclusion of people outside the walls of the church, people who we would have not thought to invite to the table. The Holy Spirit is constantly prodding and pushing and pulling us to go beyond the boundaries of our church walls, beyond ourselves, to stretch and learn to color outside the lines. Many Lutheran churches in our synod are doing brave and creative things to reach those marginalized individuals. ESL classes, theology on tap at wine bars and pubs, community gardens, Sunday schools for children with intellectual challenges, late night, Friday night worship services for younger adults who aren't planning to get up on Sunday morning, worship at work on lunch hours, NA and AA groups that are hosted, PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Gays and Lesbians, or straight gay student alliances, walking in the Pride Parade, all things that reach a community that had not been included previously. So how, like Philip, is God prodding, pushing, pulling you? Pulling, pushing, prodding you to reach outside the walls of the church, to open doors and to stretch your faith as you help to grow faith in another person. Now, my father was a gardener, landscape architect, and I spent every Saturday of my life mowing lawns. I vowed when I became an adult, we are not having a lawn. I don't mind having ground cover, but it's not a lawn that has to be mowed. Every fall, there would be a huge fight in my family. My mother loved her hydrangeas, and my father would prune them down to a nub. He would cut them back, and every year the fight would be, it's not going to come back this year. It's not going to grow. You have just ruined that plant. Only to in the spring have him say, "I told you so." The harder he seemed to prune it, the prettier the flowers came up the next year. That's what John was talking about as we read in the gospel today. God is pruning us to be what we're supposed to be, to touch the lives of the communities around us. But he's not only pruning us, he's also grafting into that same vine other individuals that we might not have thought of including. He's bringing others in. This is what we're to be about, growing the kingdom so that we can be able to share the good news. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, your Holy Spirit extends the reach of the church. May we feel your prodding and pushing and pulling in our hearts and in our minds to be challenged, that we might be instruments of your ever-expanding reign and the embrace of all people in your unconditional love. Amen.